The Insurance Coffee House is hosted by Insurance Search. Insurance Search provides executive recruitment services to insurance companies, brokers, and insurtechs in the UK and across the United States, attracting and retaining the most successful leaders to your insurance business. To find out more, visit insurance-search.com. The Insurance Coffee House, the place where you get to meet and be inspired by the most successful insurance business leaders from across the world. Hosted by Nick Hoadley, CEO of Insurance Search.
Welcome to the Insurance Coffee House. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Prashant Hinge. Prashant is the Chief Digital Transformation Officer at Mitsui MSIG, based in North America. And Prashant joins me on the line from North Carolina today. Welcome to the show, Prashant.
Thank you, Nick. Nice to be here today.
Prashant, it's great to see you. Really looking forward to hearing more about some of the work that you're doing there at MSIG. I know across this series, we've had a lot of chief people officers, a lot of HR executives. So it's going to be really great to get your perspective as digital transformation officer there for the group. As ever, though, we are in the Insurance Coffee House today. What's your go-to coffee of choice this morning?
Good question. My go-to coffee of choice for this morning is something I'm experimenting with. It's called Ryze, R-Y-Z-E. It's a mushroom coffee. So that's what I'm trying out.
Very nice. Prashant, would you mind giving our listeners some context into your background, into your career? What led you on your journey to MSIG?
My career started 20 plus years ago in India, and more of an accidental fashion, joining a company who did business processing outsourcing work and started in a call center, and thereafter grew up the ranks, learned a lot of Lean, Six Sigma, process management, managing people, leadership. I did that for multiple different clients. That's how I got exposed to US territory, because majority of the client base was in the US. So lots of long midnight shifts for the first 5-7 years of my career. And thereafter pivoted to more insurance-based work across the life cycle, managing processes, people, mostly P&C, specialty lines, and understanding how does the end-to-end insurance life cycle process work, everything from acquisition to claims end-to-end. Lots of hands-on experience in that space. 2016, technology, in my view, really started moving out of IT and into business more and more, and the gaps started to get narrower. And that's when I got exposed into the whole technology world. So until then, it was really business side, operation side. This was when I entered into the technology world to understand, how do we build plug-and-play technologies? How does data help people make better decisions? How does data science help with more predictive and other types of insights that will help us make better decisions down the road? And how do you implement those, right? The whole service delivery lifecycle. So got a ton of exposure in that space. And that was a time when I moved from a service provider to an insurance company to build digital automation type capabilities ground up. I did that for 4 to 5 years. And then this opportunity came up. And the way I looked at this was, it was a good way for me to connect my business operations background with technology and bring it all together in this digital role that I was hired to do here at MSIG.
It sounds like a great journey there. And I think your role and your career is adapted as technology is adapted, as business is adapted as well. And you've looked to be right at the forefront of that, which is fantastic. And I think it's great for the insurance industry. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about your role then. So Chief Digital Transformation Officer, what are you looking to achieve there at MSIG? What's your mission? What's your purpose of your role there?
Our mission is to become a data-driven insurer. And that's our top goal, North Star. that we have embarked on. And how you do that, how we are doing that, it's a combination of data, digital, IT services, and strategy coming all together. And what our focus right now is to build a robust infrastructure by bringing tools and technologies across various points in life cycle of insurance and enabling those services for our underwriters, our adjusters, our operations, finance and accounting partners, actuarial, to be able to work in this technology environment that allows them to scale, allows them to have insights, allows them to be able to do more with less, be more efficient on the road, and create that robust, scalable environment and infrastructure that will help us scale in this dynamic world, right?
Yeah.
So we look at it as the world is changing. It's rapid and it's dynamic, even in insurance. And our job from a technology and transformation perspective is to build the right capabilities that can help us execute better than our competition in the future. So that's how we are sort of picking projects, aligning on priorities with the business, and ensuring the execution is flawless. So that's one. The second is change management, something that we are very closely along as we are implementing change or as we are planning to implement. We're being very careful and cautious because there is a lot of change that we're trying to put into a small period of time. So understanding how it impacts people, how it impacts our infrastructure, how it impacts the day-to-day operations is extremely important because you can't build something at the cost of losing more on a day-to-day basis, right? So change management is extremely crucial for us, and that goes hand in hand with the execution that we are focused on. And lastly, I would say we are driving what I like to call a very business-focused approach, meaning ensuring that everything that is being done in a sprint or in a waterfall type environment is helping achieve an outcome from a business standpoint. And there is no gap or friction between the two. And it takes some time to completely align with that. But once you get that going, it really helps people to understand the big why. And then it really becomes about the high and also supports our change management efforts going forward.
It sounds like a really key position and a really key opportunity for you as well to have a really big impact on a major insurance carrier. Where is this change being driven from at the moment? Obviously, Mitsui is a big international insurance carrier. Is that being driven from HQ, or are you looking to almost pilot this in the US and then roll it out to the wider business?
The whole change is absolutely rooted and driven from our headquarters. And here we are ensuring there is alignment with the expectations and ensuring that we are aligned on the goals going forward. So US is a strategic opportunity for us to grow and expand the future from a marketplace perspective. So definitely it's a collaboration approach between the North America entity and our head office in helping us execute what is needed for us to grow profitably and sustainably in this insurance marketplace.
I think listeners be very aware of Mitsui as a business globally. MSIG in North America, where is the business at the moment? What's the size? And what are you looking to achieve there? What are the growth plans?
So we have a long history of P&C here in the US. Our presence is across P&C specialty lines, commercial P&C rating lines across the board. And what we do that is different is we are bringing our financial strength, our global reach, and our creativity of the products to the marketplace to help solve a business problem for our clients and insureds, right? So I think from a strategic perspective, this marketplace, it's 50% of the insurance marketplace overall, and it allows us a huge headroom to grow sustainably, leveraging our products and services that we market to our global customers, but also marketing here in the US location as well. So those combination of three things that makes us unique in this marketplace.
And a great opportunity for you there in North America, you know, huge market, huge specialty market. Like you say, you've got that great stability behind you, but also a lot of creativity in terms of those products, in terms of some of the underwriting there as well. So it sounds like a great opportunity in terms of transformation. On the subject of technology, people, AI, I know this is an area that you're particularly passionate about. And across this podcast series, we've been asking our guests about the areas of people and culture that are particularly pertinent to them or is working well at their business. But it's that marry between technology, people, but also now AI that really interests you. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about that.
Well, it's a topic near and dear to my heart personally, and also given the potential of AI, narrow AI, I will call it out, for the future of company and insurance in general. I think it's a great opportunity that we should all be focused on and ensuring that it's part of our strategic roadmap as we look into the future. In my view, AI is an excellent tool that is going to allow us to rethink, reimagine how we deliver products, services, and experiences to our client base. And it's important to also recognize that AI is, while it's powerful, it requires other catalysts to function. So for example, data, robust processes, and a robust change management process, all of these three things have to go hand in hand for AI to work. You can't start building a roof and then look at the foundation. You have to look at, start building the foundation ground up, and then understand what type of AI is it machine learning? Is it deep learning? Is it unstructured data? Is it predictive models? What is it that you really want to point that tool to achieve a certain outcome, right? So that's very, very important from AI perspective to always keep in mind. And I definitely believe that there are skills and people that will retool themselves. So you can be an underwriter, you can be a claims adjuster, you can be an accountant. There will be that add-on skill that will be needed from an AI perspective for you to be successful in the workplace in the future, right? It's 5-7 years down the road, but I think that definitely is a possibility. And last thing I'll say is on AI, before we go deeper on this topic, is it's important to get the sequencing right to scale AI in an organization, where you can be really good at doing proof of concepts, pilots, and when it comes to scaling, you'll hit all the roadblocks that you would in a traditional execution environment. So building the right data foundation, having a robust change management plan, and then on top of ensuring that there are business use cases that are aligned with the outcome. If you have these three things in order, you'll have a very successful AI program at the end of it. But if you miss a step or don't sequence them appropriately, it will create more confusion. It will create some friction in the organization. Mm. And also what that will do is that will expose you in different ways, because you won't have a robust governance structure because of that. So I think those are the components you really need to think about as you're implementing AI in an organization.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that, Prashant. That's such a great answer. In terms of individual underwriters, maybe claims leaders, the people that really make an insurance business operate, some of those people are going to be quite daunted by the amount of AI on the horizon and potentially thinking carefully about their job, about how that might be affected, the challenges associated with that, but also the opportunities as well. What would your advice be to someone who is an underwriter or a claims adjuster onto how they can really make this an opportunity for themselves rather than a threat?
Embrace it. Embracing AI is extremely important. It's everywhere in schools. It's in your phone. It's in your house. It's in your car. And as AI becomes more widely available, it's going to be hard to miss anything, any product or service that we experience in our personal lives that doesn't have AI. We want more and more of that. Now you can do complex tasks and planning better with the latest versions of Bards and Gemini that are going to be released. So AI evolution and innovation is not going to stop. There's going to be more prevalent. And I think next 2 to 3 years, we're going to see more and more of AI embedded in our day-to-day lives. And products are going to be simpler to use because of that. I think we are at that inflection point. From an individual perspective, it's embrace it. And one of the things we are trying to drive in our organization, and we need to do more of that as an industry, is educate people more. There are still a lot of extreme views and opinions about what AI can do. If you ask practitioners, you will learn that it's really narrow AI. That's still the case, where it does one thing and one thing really well. Finding that use case, understanding that, is extremely important. We don't have general intelligence yet, and I think that's far, far, far off down the road. So if I am them, I would learn, understand, and then see if you can be part of the journey of implementing some of these solutions. That takes away the fear of unknown on what it can do. And at the end, the way I see this, my personal philosophy is, if anything, it's going to make you better and help you make you better decisions and be successful at your jobs. Just like calculators in the past were seen as a threat, not anymore. It's a tool that is going to enable you. The more we educate, the more clarity we will get from it and be able to embrace it more and not see it as a threat.
I think we're seeing it a lot in the smaller businesses, certainly within the MGAs, certainly within some of the insurtechs out there, really embracing and using AI in there every day. And I know there's large teams within insurance carriers and huge projects taking place in the larger enterprise market as well. If you're an underwriter or you're a claims professional and you're in a larger company and you're seeing technology, you're seeing AI where it is working and opportunities there, yourself as a chief digital transformation officer, how do you sort of interact with the business in terms of seeing what the business needs and sort of leading with opportunities and options, but also responding to requests from the business in terms of the technology that may be able to help them in their roles?
And there are 2 to 3 different avenues or touch points that I would think that we have deployed. One is, as we are buying new products and services, you're looking at AI-first products and services, or at least AI-enabled or AI at core, right? So that helps bring in the right tools that you need to deliver a decision or to do risk management, et cetera, in the future. And yeah, part of that process is not moving away from the traditional way of buying by buying technologies and services, is to engage business and stakeholders upfront, so we know exactly which problems, or have a very good idea of which problems this technology that has AI enabled can solve. So that's one way of sort of aligning and ensuring that our goals and our objectives are always aligned. And then thereafter, once something is in that steady state or in a deployed environment, it becomes a conversation about prioritization, capacity, and aligning on the outcomes which are going to help us move our business goals and objectives forward. We are a work in progress and we are going to get there soon. But that's when you really become a data-driven company. Now you're looking at data and information and saying and asking yourself, where is it that if invested or if prioritized, we can solve a pain point or achieve a certain outcome that is tangible in nature, right? So what happens over time is your quantitative, qualitative benefit portfolio, which usually is heavy on qualitative side right now, because as an industry, we don't do a good job of capturing baseline information of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And that's just how we are. But it slowly starts to shift more towards quantitative, and that's how it helps us align on what's best and what's next.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Prashant. It's clear that you're a real expert in building out these solutions for businesses and providing a strategy around that. So thank you. Brings us on to the espresso round now, where the questions are short, sharp, and to the point. You've got your mushroom coffee there. Are you ready for the espresso round?
Yes, please.
The espresso round.
Rashad, I know that MSIG are looking at hiring and bringing in talent over the next 12 months. What would you say is one recommendation you'd have for someone who's coming in to interview for you there?
My first recommendation would be do your homework, understand what we do, who we are. Second would be start with focusing on what your strengths are, engage in a dialogue to understand the problem on the other side and see if there's a mutual fit. I think that's very important. And then third is be entrepreneurial, right? If I were to pick, that's probably a very important aspect of who and where we are headed is we want our team members to feel empowered, feel they have, that they can be leaders in this organization. And third, that they can be doers and thinkers, and those roles can be changing interchangeably, and that will be the norm, not an exception going forward, right? So those are the three things I would say I would really focus on.
We see that a lot at the smaller companies, but it's great to see that from MSIG's point of view. Prashant, when we look at other people leaders, other leaders in insurance organizations looking to hire exceptional talents, looking to hire great leaders, what would be your one piece of advice for them?
Be clear on what you want. I think sometimes the roles can be deceiving on what is the actual goal you want that individual to achieve. So be open-minded, but at the same time, be clear on what you are looking for from that individual. Spend the time. And I will add second one for free would be reach out to your network. That's very important because it allows you to talk to individuals informally and understand and validate some of your assumptions before you're starting the official process. So those are the two things that I would advise.
I think that's great advice. I think there's actually three areas there about talking to your network. Number one, to actually scope out what the role is and get some advice from people either in those positions or sit very closely with those particular roles. I think that's fantastic. Number two, referrals from those people in your network that they know who would maybe be up for an informal conversation with you or an informal coffee before you even start the official process. And then obviously in those conversations, there could actually be opportunities with that particular person as well. So I think that's great advice. When you then look to partner with a recruiter, with a search firm, on a particular hire, what are the most important things to you when selecting a partner for that?
Do you understand what we do? And are we speaking the same language, right? Very, very important. Second is speed. Speed with quality, I would say, is crucial. And third, how can you help us save time that we don't have? Those are the three things I would look into as we look for partnering with other partners.
I think that last point is a great point, actually. I think acting with speed, absolutely. And I think you bring in talent, you move at a fast pace. But actually helping you save time, I think there's firms out there, not just in the recruiting world, but other suppliers who actually want a lot of face time. They want a lot of interaction. And actually, they almost add to the workload rather than saving you that time. So they're helping you to be efficient and using their expertise and services to take that away from you, because that's essentially what you're engaging with them for. So I think that's a great point. Prashant, final question of the espresso round. What would you say the one lesson your job's taught you that you think everybody should learn at some stage in their life?
Change is hard. And I'll just add on to that, that we get lost in technology, AI, products that we love, etc. Transformation, we call innovation, we use different terminologies in an organization to express what our goals, objectives, and why we are doing it. I think if all of that boils down to one thing, and that is change. So I think just think about what you're doing as change and keep that in mind, because if you lead with that, it helps you understand how to increase adoption and how to make change stick, which are very hard things to do in any environment.
Prashant, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Before we go, do you have one piece of closing advice for our listeners? And should anyone want to reach out to you or learn more about some of the opportunities you have there, what's the best way for them to do that?
LinkedIn would be the best way to reach out to me. And I would love to hear feedback on what do you think about this podcast. And my advice would be, keep smiling. We are in a very challenging environment at an inflection point where things seem to be moving at 500 miles an hour. But it's okay. Keep smiling and ensure your team is coming along with you. So that's the best thing I would say right now.
Vinishna, I think that's definitely something that we share, Prashant, our passion for smiling during the day. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. Really look forward to seeing some of the results that you have there at MSIG, and we'll certainly welcome you back in the future. But thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Nate. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Insurance Coffee House with Nick Hoadley. Join us next time for another episode packed with insights and advice for senior leaders, C-suite executives, and ambitious insurance professionals. Stream all episodes at insurance-search.com.